Thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. You know we've got a pledge, a commitment to not only have a good time when we're together, but to do something meaningful for your life. I make a prayer daily. Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Well, of course, that's an enormous task, Mike. Gosh, I mean, that's like make everything in your life work. So where do you start? Well, guess what? We are in for a magnificent treat today. And before we get started, I want to thank you for tuning in and let you know that our show is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com. And it brings you every week our different guests. When you go to AdvancedLiving.com, check out the Comfort Technology. It's a tiny plug-in unit that harmonizes the energy in your environment, mitigates the stress from the electric equipment. People sleep better. They're more alert. Their moods improve. It's just wonderful. Take a moment. Check it out. Jack Canfield, Michael Beckwith, Dr. Eva Selhub of Harvard Medical School. Just so many people are benefiting and invite you to check it out. And now you're thinking, okay, so we've set an enormous goal. We're into the first month of a new year and probably going, oh, my gosh, so much to do, so much to do. What am I going to do? All right, well, what if we had someone coming in today that was an amazing individual that knows what it's like to be stressed to the max? What if we had someone on the show who had been working like 80 hours a week and stressed to the max and ill, and his life falling apart, and then took some time to sort through all this and step by step over about an 18-month period actually totally turned his life around to where now he's making 10 times more income, maybe even more than that. This is back some years ago. He's going to be a guest again today. And his life is working, and he is just having the time of his life and helping others to do what he did and make their lives so orderly and organized. Doesn't that sound like a treat, folks? Well, we've got an amazing individual. Sam Carpenter is joining us today. He's the author of Work the System, The Simple Mechanics of Working Less and Making More, and he's about to tell us just how he did it. Sam, welcome aboard.
Well, that's some introduction, Kenna. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful. Would you, of course, give our listeners just a little bit of a background, and then you were originally a guest in 2008, and now here we are going on to 3 years later, and I know you've made some awesome progress, but you're still strong with working the system, so help the new listeners to catch up a little.
Sure. Good grief, it was that long ago.
I know.
We've even changed the title of the book since then. I had self-published back in the spring of 2008. By spring of 2009, after you and I had talked, I got a publisher. And then we changed the name of the book. It was just about the time when the economy was crashing, and I changed it. It's now Work the System. Well, the subtitle's changed. Work the System, the Simple Mechanics of Making More and Working Less, which is backwards from what it was before.
It seemed like making
more would be more appropriate than working less, because too many people are working less right now.
Yeah, so, they don't have jobs less.
Exactly. You want me to do a quick sketch through of my history and what happened and all that?
Yeah, please, if you would.
Okay, so I have a small business, and I, let me go all the way back. Lousy childhood, no big deal with that. Lots of people have lousy childhoods. Got out of that on the East Coast, moved to the West Coast with my young family at the age of 25. I had been involved with drugs and hanging out and dropping out of college and awful jobs. I had had three separate jobs back then, which the main task was scrubbing toilets. So, and I dug ditches and I did all kinds of things and worked my way up a little bit through the chain. I drove heavy equipment and I did a whole lot of blue collar jobs. And then started to work into a more of a white-collar area. But ultimately, what happened was I was involved with a lot of things that were distressing my life, and at the age of 24, went back to school and earned a tech degree, graduated, brought my family out here to Oregon. I was in upstate New York before. Came out to Oregon and started to pay attention to the things that I could control in my life, which was a big step. Is to not rail against the injustices of the world that I couldn't fix. It wasn't that I didn't care, it's just that I had no effect. Started to pay attention to my family, worked hard. Ultimately, at the age of 35, bought a business, a telephone answering service of all things, 24/7 911 service, basically a private 911 service. And a long story short is I spent 15 years 80 to 100 hours a week. By this time, sole custody parent of the two children who were in junior high school, bought this business, and for 15 years, 80 to 100 hours a week, and made just barely enough money to get by. And then one night, I realized I was going to lose the business. I wasn't going to make an upcoming payroll. And in the middle of the night, I realized I could take a different tact. I had nothing to lose at that point. And I took that different tact and pulled the company out of the slump, pulled it way out of the slump. And yes, it was 10 times monthly income in 2008. It's about 25 times now. We continue to use this technique, which is very simple, and it's not mystical, it's not esoteric, but this technique in my life for my health, for my business, for my relationships, and it's turned my life around, and it did begin to turn my life around immediately when I instituted it. Back when I had that little midnight epiphany, I went back into the office, and I found a way to get enough money to make that payroll, and I found enough spirit left in me to start working the system, so to speak, and turn the business around, and now we're the number one answering service in the United States, and I'm doing international consulting, and I'm going to be in some national politics pretty soon, and my life is just wonderful. I'm married to a beautiful woman who's my age, we just celebrated our five-year anniversary last night, as a matter of fact, and it's a wonderful life, and I have my ups and downs, and like everybody does, that doesn't go away, but I literally can have everything in my life I want. If I sit down and write down what I wanted, say, 10 years ago and what I have now, I have double that in every regard. So that's the thumbnail biography.
Yeah, well, that's just awesome. I mean, because lots of folks are going through mighty hard times, and it looks like it's going to be getting worse. I just watched a movie of a family in the Depression, King of the Hill was the name of the movie. And, you know, and there's the dad trying to work, and the mom's ill, and they and she's in a sanitarium, and the little kid is, the dad's off trying to sell watches all over the place, and the youngster who just graduated from high school is left to fend on his own amidst a bunch of pretty hurting and desperate people. And so it was just like, oh my gosh, I watched that movie, and then have you as a guest, because there's a lot of hurting out there, so we want to be able to see what can we do when we're in the midst of this craziness to begin to turn things around.
Well, yeah, there's some different angles to take, and as we approach this through this interview, Kenneth, and you know, the gut thing, the gut theme here is simplicity. It's a simple thing. What needs to be done, and it takes a change in perspective on life. I'm not here to give the top 10 steps you should take to be successful or the 5 things you should avoid. It's about a single perspective change, and everything comes from that. And it is up to us as individuals, because believe me, the government isn't going to do it. And since, you know, Katrina and everything else that's happened, from the Pakistani earthquake to the tsunami, you know, in the Pacific to Katrina to everything else, the government somebody isn't going to reach down and save you. Okay, it's not going to happen. It is up to you. And God gave us the ability to perform with what we have. And there's so many of us that are waiting for the outside world to straighten out, and we're seriously railing against things that we can't control and are probably not going to get fixed in our lifetimes anyway. Having said that, there's an enormous opportunity in a thousand and a million different ways for people who can stand on their own feet, on 2 feet, and control the things that are within their, what Stephen Covey calls their circle of influence. So my circle of influence, the things that I could affect in life, was tiny, 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 tiny. Now it's enormous, and I have the ability to affect things far and wide and make gears turn and make things happen in my absence. And again, this is not mystical, and it's kind of sounding that way a little bit, but what I talk about in my book is segregating life out into sections, pieces, down to the smallest piece, and fixing those pieces one at a time as if they were on a conveyor belt. And you do that yourself, and you drag yourself out of whatever rut you're in, because most ruts are because people feel helpless and think they're helpless to pull themselves out. It's always up to somebody else or something else or the hand of God to reach down or whatever, and it really is up to us, and we can control and expand our circle of influence to the point where we get what we want out of life. I don't know many people that I've met that have said to me, I'm getting everything I want out of life. I don't believe it, but I am. And I don't know many people like me.
Yeah.
But honestly, even though I have my downtimes and things don't go perfectly, I look at my life and I thank God for what I've got. And it's not a Pollyanna thing. And it's not a wishful thinking thing, and it's not a blind, positive, you know, just a positive attitude. It is. I literally have everything in my life, and I know exactly how I made it that way. And that's what's in my book, and that's what I talked about.
Wow. And so now the work the system, for people to get their hands on this, what do they do?
Well, you can go to Amazon. Work the System, The Simple Mechanics of Making More and Working Less. You could go to your bookstore. You could go to my website, which is workthesystem.com, and get the book. It's all in the book, the whole thing. The part one of the book is getting it. What I call, seriously, quote, getting it, unquote, getting it, what I'm talking about here today so far. And then the second part, if you have a business that has to do with some very specific documentation, how boring is that? And then the third part of the book are odds and ends, but it's a very, very simple thing. And most of the positive comments I get include the idea that it's simple to read and simple to understand.
Wow. Wow. So you don't have to look up all sorts of esoteric words and have an epiphany in your life to be able to implement this. This is nuts
well,
and bolts and simple to understand.
Yes, sort of what you said and sort of not. So let me reverse that a little bit. You do have to go through an epiphany, but anybody can have this epiphany. And it has nothing to do with religion or spirituality. And yet when it happens, it feels very spiritual. And I'll explain what that is right now, because I haven't yet. But once you have that epiphany, you know just what to do next with whatever the pieces of your life are. It doesn't matter what you do. It might be the wrong thing. You might need to do something else, or the thing you're trying to do in life, a career or whatever, maybe you need to approach it in a different way. You don't need to throw everything out necessarily. If you're nowhere, well, you got to start somewhere, and you've got to create. But here it is. This is the simple thing that I learned is that where our listeners are out there riding in cars, sitting at home, wondering what this guy's all about, you're in a house, whatever, you look around, wherever you are, listener, look around and separate the systems that are around you. Now, let me give you an example. You're in a car driving down the road. Understand your car is a primary system. It has nothing to do with the road, even though it's traveling on it. It has nothing to do with the trees that are next to you that you go by. The trees are separate systems, too. You break the car down, the brakes are a separate system. The wheels are a separate system. Everything is a separate system. And if you're in the house, go in the bathroom right now and turn the water on. That's a system, too. And the beautiful thing about systems is they work 99.9% of the time perfectly. So if we're surrounded by systems, and in fact our bodies are systems too, neurological, structural, circulatory, systems, separate systems that work together. Your car is a system, everything in your car is a subsystem, the trees are a system, the heating system in your house, they're all separate systems. You break your life down, wherever you are, and right now, I'm walking up my driveway here in Bend, Oregon, outside my house. It's about 50 degrees, and it's late in the afternoon as we talk, Kenneth, and there's trees here. There's this driveway. I have two cars in the garage. My wife is sitting inside. I can see her through the window working on her computer. I see my life as a collection of systems. It's not a big mishmash of called life. It's not a big mishmash of sights, sounds, and events swirling around. I see everything in separateness. Doesn't that sound awful to our more New Age spiritual people out there?
When we're not being told it's about the oneness, everything is from the one source and we're all one. I mean, that may be the case, just like our body. Or a car is an individual unit, but I think you're helping to remind us that within that individual unit, for it to function, there's got to be a lot of little things pulling together to get it to happen.
Precisely. And I end up this little spiel I have. I'm not quite ready to end it up yet, but at the end here, I will say it's an incredibly holistic life we lead. The world is incredibly holistic, and indeed things do come from one source. But the way you get control of your life, that individual who's sitting on the couch or sitting in the car or walking up and down the driveway like I am right now, the way you get control is to break your life down into separate systems. You break things down. For instance, in my business, the enlightenment I had that night was that I saw my business was a collection of systems. So we take calls for people. For instance, we have a lot of doctor accounts, medical accounts, and we'll have a patient call to the doctor's office. It's late at night. The calls are routed to my answering service. We take a message, and we contact the doctor and connect the doctor's patient with the doctor in the middle of the night. And we do all kinds of connections like that. But the point is, my business is very complex, and it's full of different systems. The phone system that the telephone service representatives use, the telephone service representatives themselves, the heating system, the building we're in, and during administrative hours, how the phone is answered. All separate systems, and I realized late that night my business was a collection of systems. It wasn't this horrible, confused mass that I couldn't get my hands around. it was a collection of separate pieces. And I thought late that night, what if I decide what's the worst functioning separate system in there and I fix it? And I find a way to fix it permanently. And I did that through documentation. And again, how boring is that? But I did it with my staff. We figured out a particular system in there, and it had to do with putting money in the bank, literally the money that came in the front door. We had trouble getting it into our accounting system and then up to the bank. And we wrote down the steps to do that, and the three of us who were doing it would all do it differently, and we were losing deposits, and the deposits were wrong. It was literally the biggest problem we had beyond the shortage of money was getting the money from the front door to the bank. And that sounds crazy, but when I saw my business as a collection of systems, I saw the deposit, what we ultimately called the deposit procedure, as a dysfunctional system. And so what we did over the next week with my managers, we wrote down each of us, well, we sat in a meeting and we wrote down how all of us did it. And then we talked about it and we worked on this list, a physical list, which represented the real world. And we had 53 steps for getting the money in the front door in envelopes and into the accounting system and literally up to the bank and the deposit slip back to the office and in the file cabinet. There were 53 steps. And, you know, we refined that over the next few weeks, and pretty soon I wasn't doing deposits anymore. And I had been doing deposits. It was taking me 2 hours a week, I figured, on average, for the last 15 years, 1-5, to do deposits. And I had two other people helping me. When they could do it on a Tuesday, maybe I could do it on a Thursday. But I was spending an average of 2 hours a week. Once I had that document written up and we perfected it, all of us working together, I never did a deposit again, and I haven't done one in 10 years. So multiply 2 hours times 52 weeks times 10 years, and you'll find that's several months' time. And that's what I did. I took each separate system in my business and did that. I took it out. I had to see the separate systems first, but I jerked those systems out of that confused mass and fixed them one at a time, from the worst one to the best one. And I went from 100 hours a week to 2 hours a week, and my income is enormously higher than it used to be. And honest to God, I did that with my relationships, and I did that with my health as well. I took things apart, fixed them piece by piece, and put them together. And I like to say, I put them together again, and I like to say it's a non-holistic process, this thing of separation, of separating the details out, the systems, separating the systems out and fixing them one at a time. But think about it. They all will be put back together, repaired, each one individually repaired. And my question to myself late that night, as I realized I had nothing to lose but give it a shot, I wondered if I fixed all the pieces of my business, and there ended up being about 300 of them, if I perfected every piece of my business and then put them back together, and of course I reinserted them one at a time as I fixed them, but if they were all perfected and put together again, would I have a perfect business? It seemed like I should. I should have a business that's very profitable, but I didn't know that for sure. Now I know that for sure because that's what happened. If you take the pieces of your life and you fix them one by one, take your time. It might take a year. It might take months. Take the pieces of your relationship that are not good and fix them one at a time and put them back together. Perfect pieces put together create an incredibly efficient, holistic primary system. And I don't care what it is. I don't care whether it's your car or your business or your relationship or your health. Take things apart, fix the pieces, put them back together, and that entity will perform superbly.
Wow.
So that's kind of it. That's it. And this getting it part is to finally see that. So for our listeners that are out in their cars driving along, try to see the separate system. See that every car that goes by you is a separate system. The driver within that car is a separate system. And the road is a separate system. And pretty soon you go through your day seeing your life as a collection of separate systems. Because I'm sorry, mechanically, that's exactly what it is. Do they work together? Did they come from the same source? Of course they did. Both those things are true. But you can't get a hold, you can't straighten out the chaos in your life until you fix the pieces one by one. You got to get over the idea that there's a certain drug, or God is going to come down and straighten everything out finally, or when the Democrats finally control everything, or the Republicans finally control everything, or we get this certain president, it's not going to fix your problems. It's never going to happen. But what you can fix is your own life and your circle of influence and what falls within that circle of influence. And once you fix your life, you will be in a position to help a lot of other people outside that circle of influence. So you're not going to change the world, but what you can do is change the lives of the people that are close to you. Interestingly enough, Kenneth, over the last 6 months, Linda and I, Linda's my wife, we have three parents surviving. They're all in their 90s. And the funniest thing is, in the last 6 months, all three of them found their way to Bend, Oregon. My dad was here already.
Uh-huh.
But Linda's mother came up from Las Vegas. I went back and got my mother out, my 93-year-old mother, out of a bad situation in upstate New York and brought her out here. And all three of our surviving parents are in very fine assisted living communities out here in Bend, Oregon. And two of those three are being heavily subsidized by me because I've got the money to do it.
Yay!
And yeah, and so, you know, that's a kind of a, and I'm just thinking of that as I talk to you. I haven't had a radio interview in a little while, but I was just thinking of that as I was talking here, how, as an illustration of how once you find a way to make plenty of money and have the free time that I'm talking about here, you can really influence the people, some people out there that can use your help. And then I won't go on about some of the nonprofit things we do, but the most wonderful part of life, of course, is helping other people, and it's just wonderful to be in a position where I can do that. It's very, very satisfying.
Yeah, and one of the things that, to me, that's so impressive, Sam, there's a saying, I don't know if it's biblical or not, charity begins at home. And
Yeah, sure.
And so you're reminding us that in the midst of everything, while we may want the Wizard of Oz to come in or something wonderful like that, in case that doesn't show up immediately, let's take some steps to start getting control of things. And now, I guess you got inspired into this because there you were functioning in a business. It wasn't working well, but you kept it alive for 15 years. And of course, there was a great cost in doing that because it wasn't well organized. And so you had this crisis that helped you to make a turnaround to go, oh my gosh, okay, how do we get the money into the bank? Now that we're doing that, well, what else? What else? And you said there were 300 things. I'm curious if there's, like, you know, different things, because folks are at different places in their lives. I mean, some are running good-sized businesses that need your help. Others are like running out of unemployment and wondering how they're going to feed the kids, and everywhere in between. I'm not sure, is there just sort of like some initial steps that you recommend that people start to look at when they begin to come into this idea of, my gosh, it's all systems?
Yes, there is. Anybody, I don't care what your situation is out there, listeners, the first step is to see your life truly as a collection of systems, this mini enlightenment thing. Now, it came to me in the middle of the night in a flash of insight, almost of biblical proportions to me personally. I never saw my world differently from that point on. It's just become even more intense. The fourth chapter in my book, the fourth chapter is called Gun to the Head Enlightenment. And I needed a gun pointed to my head to see it, and I saw it on my own. And I took probably a lot of the self-help books that I've read through my life, and it probably all came together. Everything from Tony Robbins to Stephen Covey to Wayne Dyer and on down the line. And a lot of people have read these books, and they're wonderful books. But it did come to me as a very personal thing, and I never saw the world differently again. And so for those folks out there that feel helpless, don't know where the next check's going to come from, just trust me that if you start to see your life as a collection of systems, you're going to see your life in a more accurate way. If you see your life as a big mishmash, what I like to say is a confusing assortment of sights, sounds, and events that you just can't seem to get a handle on, drop all that and make the case for seeing the systems, the separate systems in your life. And what happened to me was that night I had that vision finally, and I knew just what to do the next day. I literally went into the office the next day and I told my small management staff, three people, I said, this is what we're going to do. I just want to try this now. I didn't go into the whole, mystical experience thing. But here's what we're going to do, and we're going to start with a deposit procedure, and I'm going to make payroll. I won't go into that now, but I found a way to make that payroll. I think it was an $8,000 payroll or something like that for 12 people. I forget what it was, but I said, I know what we're going to do now. We're going to start with this, and then in the time that we're doing this, I'm going to think of something else, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to document that. We're going to tear it apart and document it, put it back together, and we're going to go one by one by one. And I'm telling you, by the time I finished that, remember I called it the deposit procedure, and we saw the results. The biggest result was that, well, two big results. We never had a mistake again in the deposit. We never lost the deposit. But the big thing was, remember, I didn't do it again. I was able to just hand that written procedure over to somebody, and I saved 2 hours a week. Well, how does that relate to somebody who doesn't have a job? The point is, once you really, really see the systems of your life the way I'm describing, you'll look at your circumstance, and you'll either see that the whole circumstance is wrong and you've got to change it, or more likely, you'll see there are pieces of your circumstance that need to be changed. And you know what? It could be you're with the wrong person. It could be as you see your world as a collection of systems. One of these systems is your partner in life, or your current partner. Let's put it that way. Let's say your current partner. It may be that there's something you can fix in that relationship, or it may be that you're never gonna succeed in that relationship because of some problem in the relationship or some problem with the other person. Now, that happens with this. Now, at my business, I had 100% change in my management staff over a period of a year. And the people I was working with worked with me to a degree. They ultimately didn't work out because they didn't believe in the way I was looking at life. People found their way into my life because of the way I look at things. And it got straightened out. So the answer to your question in a nutshell, Kenneth, is that I don't know everybody's circumstances out there, but I can tell you if you see the pieces of your life as they are pieces, you can start to fix the bad ones first and then work your way on down to the less seriously dysfunctional ones, and your life will start to smooth out. So, yeah, there's something anybody can do. And it's all in your head. You don't have to buy the book. It helps to buy the book. Believe me, I make a whole lot more money on other things I do than selling the book. I did write the book to help people. Most people don't understand authors don't make a living from writing. It just doesn't happen very often. And so I've never tried to make a living with this book. I make a modest income from it. But I really would like people to have the book. In fact, for your listeners, if they're really hard up, they can email me, and I'll send them a PDF for free of the book. But they can go to the website and buy the hardcover. I'll always print the book in hardcover. I'll never print a softcover version of this book. And I don't know, it's Amazon's $15 or something like that. The book really helps because I wrote it from my guts and from my heart about the exact experience I had, and I wrote it in a way that other people can use it. It's not this boring, egocentric self-biography, autobiography. It follows what happened to me, but I write it in a way that is simple for anybody to use and improve their lives. And so that's my spiel to your question about how does somebody in a desperate situation use this information. Well, that's how they do it. They see their world in separate systems, and things will get fixed, believe me.
Yeah, now you mentioned if it wasn't in someone's means to afford to buy your book, and for some people they aren't, unfortunately, in this economy that we've seen. you mentioned an email. Can we give that out to the listeners?
Yeah, just go to info@workthesystem.com. And that address is also at the works at the website, workthesystem.com. So if they just say, hey, I heard your interview with Kenneth, send me the book. And I'll have my IT guy send back a PDF of the book. It's normally, I think, I forget, $10, no, maybe $12 on the website. But for today and maybe tomorrow, if I hear something from your listeners and get that message, I will send it out.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's certainly important as an inspiration to have something and then get started reading about the success and then beginning to look at, well, where in my life is there the greatest need for improvement and what are all the components that go into this? Because that's what you took time to do with the, and you said is when you looked at it carefully, what seemed simple, we put a deposit together, we drop it off at the bank. That was a couple of phrases there. Turns out to be 50-some steps.
Right, and the problem is we all move too fast, don't we? We're so busy taking care of killing fires, and killing fires is a term that comes up all through the book. We're so busy killing fires in our lives that we never sit down to figure out how not to have fires in the first place. And in my business, we have very, very few problems that come up. For instance, the reason I say we're the highest quality answering service in the United States is our statistic is for every, well, this last quarter, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like, maybe it was in the 11,000. For every 11,500 messages we processed, there was one customer reported error. And that's pretty amazing when you consider what we do to take a message. We take a name, a number, what the problem is, and we have to relay it correctly. And it's always over 10,000 to 1. We just don't have problems. And every time we have a problem, we take that problem, and there's a chapter in the book about it, how you take problems, and you don't just solve them. You fix things, the system that is behind that problem, you fix that system so that problem doesn't come up again. And you do that over and over and over again, and over a matter of time, and it might be weeks and it might be years, depending on your situation and what you're fixing. You work the bugs out and you don't have any more fires and you become incredibly efficient. We're running over a 40% profit margin in our business, and I suppose it could go higher, but our people are paid real well. I don't need it to go higher than that. Our people are paid the highest wages for our industry anywhere. And our rates aren't that high to our customers either. So you get a tremendous efficiency. And if I could go back to the beginning of this interview and say, besides simplicity, I want to talk about efficiency. This is about getting efficient. And it's about getting efficient in your health, in your relationships, and in your business and at work. It's about getting very, very good at what you do, because everything is fluid and there aren't problems coming up. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because a recent guest on my program, one of the things that she's doing is she has a business called First Base and Beyond, helping people to get a little more clear about what it is they want in a relationship, and then if they don't have some skills, helping them to get some skills to get out and begin dating. And I'm just thinking to myself, my gosh, before Linda came into your life, I'm wondering if you didn't create some things about relationships and systems components of that to help you to clarify who it is that you wanted to bring into your life.
That's exactly correct, actually. She came into my life right just after I had the kind of mini enlightenment I'm talking about somehow, and this is getting a little cosmic and metaphysical, but for some reason I found the woman of my dreams right exactly the time I woke up. And it's been a wonderful relationship. It really, really has been a wonderful relationship. And I'm not a bad looking guy, and you know, I got enough money and stuff, and I've dated and a lot of people, but nobody fit like Linda. And last night over dinner, a couple of glasses of wine, she had one and I had one. That's all. we talked about what a team we are and how good we are together, and it's really true. And we looked at each other and said, "Well, this is really working well, isn't it?" Look at where we've come in these 5 years since we've been married, and it is astounding how far we've come in the 5 years since we've been married. Just astounding, at least to us.
Yeah. Now, were there certain, when you think of, for instance, relationships, and everything as you in your world revolves around the systems of each part of it, is there something that you could help describe as a couple of systems when people are out there meeting others to help them to begin to think about this a little differently?
Sure. You're going to hate me for this, Kenneth, when I tell you.
Okay.
You're going to hate me for this. And but what it is online dating. I mean, you get to go, for me, a guy, I get to go through and look at all these women. First of all, you know, are they my political persuasion? Are they attractive to me? Do they have 7 kids and no money? Do they have warts growing out of their forehead? Do they live in Algeria where I would never see them? You know, the online dating is incredible because you can go through, as long as you know what you want, and you get to, and I need these dating sites, you get to say who you are and what you're looking for in some way, you do, because you got to put your profile out there. And this is how Linda and I met. She found me. She was cruising the net, man, and she found me, and she sent me a letter, and we met. And I don't know, we were a 96% match or something like that. I think it was matchmaker.com back then, way back then. And I dated a lot of ladies through that, and then I was just getting kind of disgusted with it, trying to hone things down, and then we met. And her profile was perfect to me. And she says my profile was perfect to her. We met. The chemistry was there, and that was it. I would have never met her otherwise.
Mm.
So this system thing is right in front of us, all of us. Computer dating? Yeah, really, computer dating. Or you're looking for a car, get on the computer. Do the profiles. Look at the cars. And if it's your health, go down to the doctor and get a total blood test. Separate your system. You remember we talked about this, Kenneth, how that
sure.
I took my body apart by getting every, and I always say, every blood test known to man. And there were 80 of them. And the doctor didn't want me to do it. He said, no, you're depressed. You're depressed. I said, yeah, I am depressed. I'm really depressed. I'm working 100 hours a week. I've got nobody in my life. I'm really depressed, but I think there's more to this. And he says, no, just take this antidepressant. I took 6 different antidepressants all in, you know, sequential.
Yeah.
And when he put me on Ritalin, finally, I thought, okay, this was about the time I had the breakthrough. And I, against his wishes, I insisted that he do the blood test. And I literally told him, if you don't let me do the blood test, I'm just going to go to another doctor. I'm not asking you for a controlled substance. I just want you to do all the blood tests that you do.
Yeah.
Well, he says, okay. So I think 10 days later, I went back, and he said, boy, I'm really glad we did these drug tests because you got 4 large problems. One was dehydration, terribly dehydrated. It turns out my kidneys weren't processing properly. And there were some hormone problems that a couple of over-the-counter and one prescription straightened out some hormonal imbalances I had, and it took 2 years to fix that. It was so bad. And I also found out, as long as I was taking myself apart, in talking to him, he says, how much are you sleeping? And I said, well, I'm kind of a miracle guy. I'm sleeping 3 hours a night. And he says, you're out of your mind. You got a problem. And so I went to a sleep disorder clinic to get that system straightened out. But you see, these blood tests were analyzing 80 different systems, chemical systems in my body, and 4 of them stood out of the category as being problematic. And so I worked on those separate systems to get them back into balance, and I learned how to sleep. And piece by piece, I put my body back together, and it took 2 years, and 2 years I'm healthy again. And I got healthy again by 2002. and I'm still climb 61. I'm still climbing mountains and cycling hard, and I go up in the mountains with my headlamp here out of Bend, 20 minutes out of town, and I before the sun comes up, and I hammer for 2 hours on my cross-country skis several times a week. And so I'm robustly healthy, because when something goes wrong with my body, I go fix it. I had a shoulder problem a while back, and I went in, and they did some arthroscopic surgery and fixed my shoulder. And piece by piece by piece, you fix things. But if your mess, if your life is a mess, what you do is you start with the biggest part of that mess and fix it, and then the second biggest part, and on down the line, very methodically, very boring, but you fix those pieces one at a time. And I'm telling you, when all the pieces are fixed and you and they're all working together, suddenly things get much, much more efficient in your life. The money's there, the people are there. And I have so many case studies to prove this, and we're putting them together now. I'm starting, Kenneth, an international consulting company, and part of our task is to gather together case studies. And I just sent an email out to just a few hundred on my mailing list, say, how has the book affected you? I'd like to know. We need some case studies for our marketing for this thing. Man, oh, man, I'm getting these people, oh, you changed my life, you changed my life. And it's all in Chapter 4 of the book. You need to, if you're reading the book, you need to work your way up to Chapter 4. But anyway, sorry about rambling on.
This is important because in our conversation before the show, you were mentioning going off to London to help begin to create a lot of people able to do some of the consulting. Because it's one thing to tell someone, look, this is how I did it, it's in my book, go do it. And I'm guessing from my experience in life that for some people, that's all they'll need, and it's enough, and they'll go do it. And for a whole lot of other people, unless they get a little bit of what I call training wheels or support to help them get started, they'll never get it done.
Exactly. And we're providing jobs for people who love the book and wish they could apply, it's changed their lives and they want to help other people. That's kind of what the consulting program is. But especially the end person, these consultants will go into businesses that are having problems and lay in this very simple methodology with the owner of that business and help fix that business. And how much fun is that? I mean, how good can you feel to be able to do something like that and get paid for it?
Yeah.
So anyway, we just got back from London, and we're headed back again. We got back 2 weeks ago, and I think we're headed back in another week to get this thing off the ground.
Yeah, so this will be on your website or a separate website for people to become consultants?
Right, and there's nothing on my website, and I'm really not supposed to probably be talking about this right now.
Okay. Oops.
But
okay.
Stay tuned. It's okay. I'm the one that's talking. You didn't drag it out of me. It's kind of okay. I have a partner from the UK, and he's a marketing genius, and so he's going to work with me to put this product out there. Just watch the website. There'll be stuff coming up. We're going to release it in a beta form in April, and
oh,
then
boy.
The full bore package will be June. Yeah.
Okay. And to me, I mean, years ago, I worked with a fellow you may have heard of, Zig Ziglar.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
To me, he yeah. What a character and what a charming man. When we were talking about the I Can course that I taught, we're going to do a checkup from the neck up, so you avoid stinking
uh-huh.
thinking and don't get hardening of the attitudes.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I saw him in Hawaii of all places at a presentation. It must have been 30 years ago. What a guy. I'll never forget that presentation.
Yeah. Well, and to me, what was so interesting is he just said, look, here's this course. You don't have to be a great teacher. If you have a desire to help people, we've put this thing together well enough that you can take it and run with it and help people's lives get better. And so it just makes me curious talking to you about with systems as your specialty, if this might be something that a person doesn't necessarily have to have a college degree or a great background or have their life totally working to be able to go in and help someone else.
Oh, heck no. I'm just this blue-collar guy. I never finished college. I got a double-A degree in forestry and surveying, for crying out loud.
Oh.
No, I'm just a I'm just this regular guy. And I'm surrounded by PhDs and MBA guys that are, you know, they're struggling. They might be teaching in college, but they're struggling in their lives. And I've got an attorney friend that was singing me the blues the other day. He's a guy I ski with all the time. He says, "We're dying over here." Now, yeah. He went through all the years of school, and he works really hard. But I think the person that hasn't gone through a whole lot of education, you know, formal education, is going to have an easier time of it than somebody who has. Does that make sense? Somebody who's been down in the gravel, shuffling around, stumbling around, these are the people that really get the meaning enlightenment in a startling way. Okay? Mm. And so, it doesn't matter who you are or what you're doing. You don't have to have some kind of a degree. And I'm not that kind of a guy, and that comes across in the book. And in fact, in the preface of the book, I say something like this. Let's see. There will be blue blood psychologists out there who will scoff at the work the system methodology. To these people, thank you. That's a compliment. It's an oblique compliment, because what I'm talking about is utterly simple. You don't need a PhD, and you don't have to have 150 IQ. It's regular common sense stuff that anybody can understand. So that's kind of my answer to your question, and thank you for asking that question.
Yeah, because to me that is so very, very important. I got some of that years ago with Zig Ziglar, and I had a sense from our interactions that you were able to do something very similar, that being a genius might get in your way.
That's true.
It's like, it's not that hard. This is not rocket science. You just take a look at this and look at the components and put it together and pay attention to detail and then do one after another. And by golly, pretty soon you're feeling better, your life's working better. And then you can, and of course, with this, I mean, to me, I'm a little... forgive me that I was joking with Seth before the show came on, and I said to him, that in case someone can't remember Sam's last name, we'll just call him Sam. What did Jesus do before he was a big religious guy? Carpenter.
Well, that's a nice way to complicate it. What did Jesus do before he became a religious guy? I like that. I'm going to have to try that on for size.
Yeah, that was my gift to you, because here you are doing this profound stuff as a carpenter.
I don't hope to be a Jesus, that's for sure.
Well, no, but it's not about Jesus. It's about what he did. He was a great carpenter. Guess what? I mean, it happens to be your name, but there you are helping us build a very simple and important foundation.
Nobody had ever put it together for me that way. Thank you, Kenneth.
That's one of my things that I'm good at, because I bring different aspects of things together, and generally people go, I hadn't thought of that, but it makes sense. So it gives me a chance to give you a little gift for taking time out of your busy schedule to share with our listeners.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. Is there anything, we've got about a minute or two to wrap up, that you'd want to share as
sure,
a little inspiration?
Sure. Inspiration, a little bit of mechanics and a little bit of inspiration. My mechanic part is, I really don't care how much of this I sell. I'm just happy to give it away. But if you want more information, go to workthesystem.com. If you would like to get a PDF of the book, heck, I'll send it to you. Info@workthesystem.com. Just send me an email and I'll get it. One of my staff will get it, or I'll get it. Say that you heard about it on the show, Kenneth's show from Colorado, and we'll send you the book. And inspiration-wise, I always try to end by saying, look around you right now and see the separate systems of your life and appreciate every one of them and understand 99.9% of them are working perfectly. And that's really true. That's true man-made, and that's true nature-wise. Everywhere. So that's my little inspirational thing.
Okay. All right. So, folks, let's all take a deep breath and go, it's not as bad as I thought when I start to check around and see how many things are actually working, and then deliberately know that I can, step by step, fix the things that aren't. Sam, my hat's off to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kenneth, for the opportunity. I always like talking to you.
It's a mutual pleasure. And beloved listeners, Sam, until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now. Let go.